Okay, so we're in Dr. Ted Phelps tonight. I'll go back to the mission we did yesterday and you dial in on the base 14B, page 28. We're on the 8 lines from the bottom. So the mission says, Konam Shani Yashen. Now, Konam is Lashon of Neder. Konam, like Gemara learned earlier, is Lashon of a Korban. Means somebody should be prohibited to be like a Korban. It says, Konam Shani Yashen. I'm making a Konam that I'm not going to sleep. That's basically what he's saying. So this is obviously a problem because we said Neder cannot be Chal, it has to start on a Chal on a Chefza. And this is an intangible object. So that's the first problem we have in the Mishnah. Konam Shani Yashen, Shani Medaber. We make a Konam that he's going to speak, meaning he's not going to speak. Then it says, Shani Mahalech, that he's not going to walk. So again, the same objection would be in all three. We don't understand how it's Chal. Chal means it works, but it does work for reasons that the Gemara will explain. And then the Mishnah says, Ha'omer le'isha, but on the side he says, le'ishto. If a person says to his wife, Konam sha'ani misham sheikh, a Konam that I'm going to have relations with you, meaning he's making it that he's not going to have relations with her, Harei zeh b'lo yachel d'baro. So each one of these items is subject to lo yachel d'baro, means he shouldn't profane his words. L'chora, the Gemara is the Mishnah saying that he has a valid neder. That's what we think the Mishnah is saying. Now, the difficulty is, again, that a konam is lashon neder. Neder can't be chal and somebody doesn't have mamashas. Each one of these ideas doesn't have mamashas to it, so we don't understand how that works. And secondly, the style of the Mishnah previously, when he had a valid neder, so Tana said, Hareza asur. And here he says, Hareza b'lo yachel d'varo. So we don't understand these issues, but the Gemara will be mabarir. Okay? All right, let's go further. So now the Gemara brings up a machloket amarayim, which the Gemara is going to connect to our Mishnah. Itmar konam eini b'shena hayom imishan l'machar. So first, the nation's konam is better than the one we had before. He says konam eini b'shena or einai b'shena, that my eyes are prohibited in sleeping, or sleep is prohibited to my eyes. So That's considered to be the correct form, that it's a chetza. He says, but he has two parts to it. He's got the isur and the tanai, the prohibition and the stipulation. He says, konam einai b'shena hayom, that there's a konam on my eyes sleeping today, imishan l'machar, if I sleep tomorrow. So if he sleeps tomorrow, then retroactively it'll be clear that he was under a prohibition from sleeping today. So today's Monday. He says, Konam Shena Meinai Hayom, is a Konam on my eyes from sleeping today if I sleep tomorrow. So sleeping tomorrow is the trigger, and then the Easter is today. Okay? Got that? Or not? Josh, you with me? He's the one who's making the netter. So it's Monday. On Monday morning, he says, Konam einai b'shena hayom, that my eyes are subject to a neder from sleeping if he sleeps tomorrow, if I sleep tomorrow. So in other words, maybe...
It's both days.
Right.
Go to sleep today and not sleep tomorrow.
Well, that's going to be the issue. That's what we have to clarify. Okay. So you think Michael's good with this. Okay. So Idmar, Konam einai b'shena hayom, yushan l'machor. So Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. So Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, Al Yishana Yom, Shem Yishana Machar. So to be on the safe side, he should not sleep at all today, Monday, because maybe he'll sleep tomorrow, in which case it'll come out that he was under a neder today. So to be on the safe side, so again, the trigger is tomorrow, but he's Rabbi Yehuda's Choshesh, maybe he's going to pull the trigger tomorrow. So he can't sleep today, because I'm afraid he's going to pull the trigger tomorrow. Okay, well, just 1 second. Rav Nachman Amar, Yishana Yom. Rav Nachman says, no, there's no problem with him sleeping today. I'm not afraid that he's going to pull the trigger tomorrow. He'll know, since he slept today, that he has to be careful not to sleep tomorrow. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Umoda Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda agrees that there is no problem. If a person says it the other way around, that there's a konam on his eyes sleeping tomorrow if he sleeps today. So here the trigger is now on Monday and the Easter is on Tuesday. So there, Rav Yehuda holds Yishanayom. Rav Yehuda holds he could sleep today. Why? He lo mizdahir b'tanah. In other words, Rav Yehuda's concern is if the person sleeps on Monday, then he'll slide with the trigger. In other words, the trigger he's not going to be so careful with. And then he'll trigger the netter tomorrow, and then he'll be in trouble. That's what I was concerned about. But if he sleeps today and he triggers the netter, so then he's not afraid about it. He says, Kilom is dahir, but tonight I'm afraid a person won't be careful with the trigger. Aval be isurim is dahir. But with the Easter itself, if he knows that he has a netter, then he'll be careful with it. Okay, is you everybody good so far or not?
Actually, maybe he would be able to
wait
this whole day.
Wait. Again, which case are we talking about now? Is the trigger on Monday or the trigger's on Tuesday? Okay, so that's the first case. He says, Konam inai b'shein ayom v'shan l'afar. Says, there's a kona on my eyes from sleeping today if I sleep tomorrow. So we had a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman in that case. So Rabbi Yehuda says to be on the safe side, he shouldn't sleep today. Because maybe he'll sleep tomorrow, in which case he's going to be in Kahak Tzuris. Rav Nachman says, I'm not concerned about that. Let him sleep today, and tomorrow he'll be careful not to sleep.
But today he was awake the whole day. So what do you mean it triggers it?
Again, he's making a neder. He's making a vow. The vow has conditions with it. This is his own neder. This is the neder that he frames. And he says that my eyes are forbidden to sleep today, if I sleep tomorrow. That's his netter. So the question is there a problem with him sleeping today on Monday? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, absolutely there's a problem with him, because I don't want him to sleep on Monday, because he might sleep on Tuesday, in which case he's going to violate his vow retroactively. And Rav Nachman says, I'm not concerned about that. If he sleeps today, he'll be careful not to sleep tomorrow. Okay. All right, now we're on the top line on Tet Vav Amud Aleph, the second line. Okay, now the Gemara wants to connect this machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman to our Mishnah. So it says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. One second. Yeah. Tanan, Konam Shani Yashain, Shani Mahalech, Shani Medaber Bechulei. So in the Mishnah, we said the person makes a Konam, which is Lashon Neder, that he's not going to sleep, that he's not going to walk, that he's not going to speak. So Hechidami, Chuli. So the Gemara is Hechidami. What's the case in the Mishnah? Ilemik the Katani, if it's just the way we read in the Mishnah, it says, Shani Hashem Mihavi Nidra. Is that a neder that he makes a neder that he's not going to sleep? Is that a neder? But now we have Bahatan, but inside it says Bahatani. If you learn in the Braisa, Chomer Bishuot, Shashur Chalor Advar Shish Mamash, Vel Advar Shem Mamash. So there's a Shua and a neder, an oath and a vow. So I assume the shua is an oath, but you get the idea. Two different types. So a shua can be chal on the cheftza, or a shua can be chal on something intangible. He says, "Masha'en came b'nedarim," but nedarim is always chal on a cheftza. Nedarim is always chal on an object. The shena devar shena v'mashu. Shena is something intangible. So how can the Talmud Mishnah say he's got a neder not to sleep? Sleep is by definition an intangible item. So how can he do that? So the Gemara revises our understanding of the Mishnah. Ela da Amar konam inai b'shena. So rather, it must be that in the Mishnah he didn't say konam shani yashen. He's making a neder that he's not going to sleep. Instead, he made the neder konam inai b'shena, like my eyes are forbidden from benefiting from sleep, something like that. So he says, and that would be a neder. That would be a neder. Fine. So that's what he's saying. So, but then what is he saying other than that? Vidal Yav Shiura, if he just has an open neder, well, if all he says is, Konam Einai B'Shena, my eyes are forbidden, my eyes are forbidden from acting on sleep. So if that's all he says, and there's no shear for it, that means he can never sleep. Mishav Kinan Le'adabar Istur Bayachel. So what the Gemara is really saying is that even an effective neder? And it's not going to be an effective neder. If he makes a neder that his eyes are never going to benefit from sleep, which is saying in essence that he's never going to sleep, that's not an effective neder. So that he wouldn't be over on Baal Yachel. He wouldn't transgress the law of Lo Yachel. So the Gemara is going to explain in a few minutes that with a shvua, let's say a shvua is an oath. So if a person makes a shvua, a table's a table. That's a shvua chav. If he makes an oath that this table is gold, that's also a shvua chav. So if it's open and notoriously obvious not this way, or open and notorious that it is this way, that's a shvuat shav. That's a vain oath. So for a vain oath, you're chayav for a shvuat shav. It says, lo tisad shem elokecha l'shav, in the Aseret Dibrot. You shouldn't take God's name in vain. That's a lav, and you're not chayav for bal yachel, you're chayav for shvuat shav. But there's no lav of taking neder that shav. There's no lav for taking neder that shav. So here the Gemara is saying, if a person makes a neder, and again, with the shvuah, you frequently mention the Shem Hashem. With the neder, you don't mention the Shem Hashem. But with a neder, so if a person makes a neder, he's never going to sleep, it's not even an effective neder. In other words, in order to be chayav for violating a neder, I have to make an effective neder. If I make a neder that I can never fulfill, it's obviously I can never fill it. It's not an effective neder. That's what the Gemara is saying. Let me do a little Ron on this, and then we'll go through, and then we'll talk some more, okay? So let's look at the Ron at the bottom of Good Dalit Amud Beis, okay? V'yeladamar konam einai b'sheina, everybody with me? Four lines from the bottom. V'yeladamar konam einai b'sheina on Yud Dalit Amud Beis, on page 28. He says, V'yalad konam einai b'sheina klomar b'kamash malan d'nehi d'yif shar b'lo sheina p'yu hachi y'yashen shlomi toka ones reza b'lo yachel. Umishav kinli adabar yisur b'yachel. Klomar, three lines from the bottom. Klomar b'chi hai gavna mi'chayel nidra klau. Under those circumstances, is the neder chal. Chal means that to take effect at all. Kevan de if sharlu kaimo besofo. Since there's no way he can fill a neder. If he makes a neder, his eyes are never going to engage in sleep. So then that's something he can never do. Benakat lishna demishav kinalei. He adopts the language, do we allow him? Mishum debaila tuyalah had Rabbi Yochanan shibashua. In other words, the Gemara is going to have a case of shua. This language isn't really shayach by neder. He says, "Vishu shayach haylishna." By shu, it is that language does make sense. Kolomar the lov shav kinami lahakotoa da abar isra bayachel. If he takes a shu this way, we don't let him wait till he, like in quotation marks, violates the shu. And he says, "Ela la alter malkinato." Give malkin right away. Mishum shu shav. Yavagav the neder lo shayach hati the neder shav lo ashkan da asur. So he's borrowing language from Ashua. Again, let's go back over. So we were bothered because in our Mishnah, it says the person is taking a neder. Konam means be prohibited to me. Say a neder not to sleep and not to war, or a neder not to speak, or a neder not to walk. Okay, is he making one of those nedarim? So the Gemara says, how can you make a neder not to do those things? That's making a neder on something that has no mamashas, the intangible object. So a neder is like, this, you know, this food is prohibited to me, something like that. That would be a neder. But if I say this, the sleep, that's nothing. So it can't be a neder. So the Gemara says, you're right. He didn't say that. It can't be a neder. And he didn't say that state. Instead, what he said was, konam inai b'shena, that my eyes are forbid from benefiting from sleep, something like those wise. So the eyes is a prohibition that's chal on the eyes. So that is good language. Okay, fine. But then the Mishnah says that in these cases, he's going to be subject to lo yachel devaro. He's going to subject to lav lo yachel devaro. So the Gemara says, but if all he says is konam inai b'shena, he won't be subject to bal yachel devaro because it's not an effective neder, because it can never, there's no way to fulfill it. Let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, mishav kinli ad avar yisur bal yachel. We leave until he goes bal yachel, but that's really shayach by shuas. V'ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan, 8 lines down. If a person takes a shvua that he will not sleep for 3 days, so he can take a shvua he's not going to sleep, let's say, for a day, whatever, but if he takes a shvua he's not going to sleep for 3 days, we just give him malkot right away because he violated a shvua shav, not because he violated the shvua, but he did a shvua shav, like a vain oath, yashin la'alter. So the point is that with a neder, this neder is not an effective neder. By shvua, he violated making a shvua shav. But there's no iser making a neder shav. We just learned the Ran. So Mela, so how is he over on Bal Yachel? Mela, so we have to come up with a different hesber for our Mishnah. Ela da Amar, konami nai b'shein al machar imishana yom. So the Gemara has a different tack. Maybe he says, konami nai b'shein al machar, that my eyes will be forgiven in sleeping tomorrow, imishanayom, if I sleep today. So here we have the trigger. If today is Monday, because I'll keep the same days of the week that we said before. So if today is Monday, so if he pulls the trigger on Monday, he's subject to the neder on Tuesday, and he pulls the trigger by sleeping today. So that we think could be the case. So the Gemara said, Ha'amri kol b'isuri mizdahir. But you said above, now we're linking it back to the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman. So both Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman agreed that a person would be careful not to violate the neder. In other words, once he pulls the trigger, they both agree that the person will be careful not to violate the neder. So why would the Tana of the Mishnah say, if that's the case, then a reza below yachel de barao, presumably he would not violate the neder. Elapshita, so must be, the Gemara wants to say, it's the other way around. The Amar konami nai b'shena hayom, that the case of the Mishnah is, since konami nai b'shena hayom, that my eyes are prohibited in benefiting from sleep today in Yishan the Machar, if I sleep tomorrow, which is the same case that we have with Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Now, V'ilo na'im hayom, kina'im l'machar ma'i ba'yachel d'baro ika. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda says when a person makes a neder that way, where the Easter is on Monday, and the trigger, the tonight, is on Tuesday, so then he's subject to not violating the neder on Monday because we're afraid he's going to pull the trigger on Tuesday. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. So the Gemara is asking, if Rabbi Yehuda is correct, that that's the halacha, that a person has to be careful not to violate the neder today, Monday, because he might pull the trigger tomorrow. So if that's the case, so how would he be over a hareza below yachel d'baro? In other words, the only way he could be over on Bali, even if he sleeps tomorrow on Monday, but he will not have slept even if he sleeps tomorrow on Tuesday, he will not have slept on Monday. So how will he ever get to Bali Yachel Devaro? That's the way we're asking Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says if a person makes a neder, that konaminai b'shena hayom, that my eyes are prohibited in sleep today, if I sleep tomorrow, so then he's admonished not to sleep today, because we're afraid what he might do tomorrow. So he's absolutely not to sleep today. So assuming the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and assuming that the Mishnah is talking about the same case, how is it that the Mishnah says that he'll come to Baal Yachel? He'll come to creating, like, he'll profane his oath if he's careful to follow Rabbi Yehuda's protocol. So that's a kasha against Rabbi Yehuda. It sounds like maybe not following that protocol. So the Gemara says, El alav, to deny him. Is it not that the Mishnah is talking and anticipating that the person will sleep on Monday? That he makes a neder, like we just discussed. You know, there's a kodame naibashin ayomi mishan makar. And the person did sleep today on Monday. And then, if the Mishnah is telling me that if he sleeps tomorrow, he's going to be over on Baal Yachel. So if what we said is correct, that's a kasha against Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda said, under no circumstances should he sleep on Monday. Alma, to deny him, but you have to derive Yehuda. So we see that indeed it sounds like a person could sleep, notwithstanding the fact that he made such an error. He could sleep on Monday. So that's a kasha against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now deflects the question. Kikatani de'inayim. So no, it doesn't mean that the Tana Mishnah is saying, yeah, go ahead, sleep. The Tana Mishnah agrees you shouldn't sleep. But the Tana Mishnah is saying that if you didn't do that and you did sleep, then you sleep tomorrow, then you're going to be in Kahak Tetzuris. Okay, let's take a look. Let's look at the Ran on the third last narrow line of the Ran. Everybody with me? It says, Ki katani dinayim v'adrabal, the Ran says, just the opposite, manitin hadrab Yehuda atashminin, that the Mishnah is not a kash against Rabbi Yehuda, it's a support for Rabbi Yehuda. V'haki katani, and this is the way we should understand the Mishnah, Yizahir shlo yisan yom rishon, that the Mishnah is saying you should be careful not to sleep on Monday, the Iashen, because if he does sleep on Monday, Karov Hulavo, Bal Yachel de Baro, Divitznai Lom is Dyer, then he may come to violate Lo Yachel de Baro. So again, we think the Mishnah is talking about the same case that Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman was talking about. And he says, Konami Nai B'Shein Ayom, Mishan Machar, and now we're thinking that the Mishnah is teaching me that he should not sleep on Monday, because if he sleeps on Monday, then he's getting very close to violating Baal Yachel, which will be if he pulls the trigger tomorrow, he'll be over on Baal Yachel. So that's the reason. So the answer to how the Mishnah, you know, speaks was Konam Eshani Yashen. He didn't say Konam Shein Yashen, it's Konam Inai B'Shein Hayom. And then how do we have this case? And then why is he saying Baal Yachel? He's saying that if he does sleep today, which he shouldn't, but if he does sleep today, then he he shouldn't sleep today, because if he does sleep today, he'll be very close to violating Bal Yafel. Then if he goes to sleep tomorrow, he'll be in problems. Okay, that's the way we understand the Mishnah. Everybody good so far?
So meaning that the Mishnah is not coming to say that it's absolutely a sur, but that...
No, no, no. The Mishnah, the way Rabbi Yehuda will understand the Mishnah, the Mishnah is saying that he should not sleep today on Monday. He should not sleep today on Monday because then he may come to violate Bal Yachel. That's what the Mishnah is saying. All right? So it means like on a Drabbanan level, he shouldn't sleep today on Monday, because if he sleeps on Monday and he sleeps on Tuesday, he'll be over on a Torah level, Bal Yachel. Okay? All right. Now, let me just do a few more lines, then we'll take a pause and we'll talk a little bit. Okay? Now, all right, now I'm up to Ravina Amar. Okay, so Ravina, we are back in the Gemara. Okay, now this is a different shot we're going to give in the Mishnah. Ravina Amar, Liolam Kidikatani. Ravina says, no, we're going to leave the Mishnah the way it is. And then there was in Achinam, he said, Konam Shani Ashen. He made this Konam, which is not, the net is not Chal on a Doraisa level. He says, Umay Bal Yachel, what does it mean that if he violates it, he'll be subject to Bal Yachel? Don't profane your words. Means Rabbanim, on a Rabbanim level. In other words, in Achinami on a Dreisel level, it's not a Neder. But the Chachamim said, you should treat it like a Neder, because we're afraid that you'll make a different type of Neder, which would be foul. So the Gemara says, is there such a thing as violating Bal Yachel on a Rabbanim level? So the Gemara says, in, absolutely there is. Mahatani, we learn the Breisa. Devarima mutarim, vachirim na'aguba hanisur. There are some things that are permissible, api alacha, but other people on that same item are stringent with. In other words, the ikar din is something that's mutar, but some people are nevertheless careful not to do out of a chumrah. He says, so you're not allowed to say to them, it's permissible to do this. He says, shenemar lo yachel dvaro, because it says lo yachel dvaro. So the way the Gemara is saying that if a person adopts a minag of chumrah, in other words, the ikar din is something's permissible, but he adopts a stringent practice, so that takes on a Drabbanan level, the din of a neder. And if he violates it, he's over on Bal Yachel on a Drabbanan level, on a rabbinic level. So we see there is a Bal Yachel on a Drabbanan level. Okay, let's just summarize what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So again, I'm just repeating again and again, but we had in the Mishnah says, Konam Shani Yashen, Konam Shani B'daber, Konam Shani Mahalaych. So it's a Lashon Neder, he's not going to sleep, not going to speak, not going to walk. So we said, how could that be a neder that's chal? A neder has to be chal on a davar sheish bo mamash, something that has a tangible object, you know, that he's, you know, the book is prohibited to him or something like that, or the food is prohibited to him, but it can't be on an intangible object like speaking and sleeping and things like that. So that was a neder chal. And then secondly, we said, then the Tana Mishnah says, areza below yachel. He's subject to lo yachel, but the previous Mishnah said areza asur. So how do we explain the Mishnah? So the Gemara's first answer, the Gemara says, the Mishnah doesn't mean that he said, Konam Shani Ashen. He said something a little differently, but he said, Konam Einai B'Sheina Hayom, that my eyes will be subject to a prohibition of sleeping, Imishan L'Machar, if I sleep tomorrow. So the Isur is today, the trigger is tomorrow. So here, the Tana of the Mishnah is saying, comes out of the Maskana, that under those circumstances, he should not sleep today, Monday, because like Rabbi Yehuda, we're afraid he'll sleep tomorrow, in which case he will be over on Bal Yachel on a Doraisa level. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching me, okay? That's why Bal Yachel. In other words, he shouldn't sleep today, because if he would sleep today, he's getting close to violating Bal Yachel tomorrow. That's shot number one. Shot number two, in Achinami, the Mishnah is Pshuto Kamashmo. He said, Kodam Shini Yashin, Kodam Shini Bir, Konam Shani Mahalaych. But on a, in the Achinami, on a Dereis level, a Neder is not Chal. But on a Drabbanan level, it is Chal, and he is subject to Bal Yachel on a Drabbanan level. So the Gemara says, do we ever see that there's a Bal Yachel on a Drabbanan level? He says, absolutely. And then we learned in the Breisa that sometimes a person is no egg with a certain Chumrah, and it comes out like if you do it like three times. And then Mamela, if he violates that Chumrah, so now he's like violating a Neder on a Drabbanan level. That's what we learned. That's the case in the Mishnah with Bal Yachel. Okay, so those are the two pshatim we have in the Mishnah. Now, all right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts? Sure. Right. In other words, that's the idea. In other words, it's Rabbanan because we're afraid you'll make a Neder Doraisa. So that's the idea we're saying. Okay, now, Let me just do a little pause for station identification, and then we'll do a little piece. Now, commentators on our Gemara rule that a person who follows a particular custom related to a mitzvah is considered as if he made a vow. Consequently, if he wants to cease the practice, he must nullify his vow. He says the Pri Chadash inquires whether a child is automatically bound to follow and practice his father's customs. In his conclusion, he distinguishes between customs his father adopted on his own to be more cautious, or as an expression of piety, and those customs that the father practiced because they were behaviors adopted by the entire town. In other words, this is a chumrah the father just took on, or this was like the minhag of the makom. A child is not obligated to follow practices his father adopted privately. So the father sends his own chumrah, so he doesn't have to do. But a child must follow the practice of his father's town, and this requirement is derived from the pasuk, do not abandon the Torah of your mother. Now, the Tshuva Zichron Yosef also addressed this issue and suggested many different guidelines for when a child is obligated to follow his father's customs, when he's not obligated to observe his father's customs. One guideline he suggests is when the child began to follow his father's practice or not. If the child, upon becoming an adult, followed his father's pious practices, the child must continue to follow those customs. But if the child never adopted those practices, he's not obligated to follow them simply because that was his father's practice. In other words, like a good example might be, let's say, the Brux. So a lot of people, with a Hasidic background especially, so they don't eat on Pesach, a matzah meal that comes in contact with water or liquid. So that's a chumrah. So as a result of that, there's also two foods they can't eat, things like that. So he's saying that would be an example like a chumrah that a person did. So a person adopts his chumrah, three times in a row, whatever, maybe like 3 years in a row, so then it gets a din of a matter. Now, the Tshuvas Dibrei Malki was asked whether a child is permitted to shave his beard, even though it constitutes a deviation from his father's practice. Dibrei Malki answered that since in their region, the practice for centuries was for the men to keep their beards, and the Zohar writes very strongly about the matter, it's considered as if the community had adopted the practice, which binds all residents to comply. Granted, he continues that in those countries where they did not adopt this practice, is permitted to shave, but those who come from those countries that did follow this practice must abide by this custom. It's a tricky issue. But we get the idea where, in other words, Dafyomi just teaches you sort of sensitivity to the issues, and then you can look into it when, or ask your local competent Orthodox rabbi, He's saying that if the father adopted the minhagim of the makom, this is the way this is going, then and then the child continues on, then the child is obligate. That's Lepore, the way he's saying here. If it's a private chumrah the father did, and the child, then he's not obligated. But if the child does that, then he becomes obligated. What's up?
Yes. So can you take on more lenient minhagim?
That's what we're just discussing. We're saying that if you have a minhag, so then you're obligated to continue on with that minhag. In other words, but if you don't want to continue on the minhag, you have to go for hataras and darim.
Oh, so let's say your parent has a chumrah and you decide that you don't want to do it. You have to go for hatarat nidarim, even if you did not take it on, or you actually have to take it on. Let's say
hatam makom, right? Okay. Well, this is what we've just been discussing. So if the way he had over here in this sheet, he's saying if the chumrah was like the minhag of the makom, everybody in that locality did it, and the father did that as well, and the child continues on with that. So then he can't separate it. But if it's just something, the father's own personal chumrah, not everybody else in the neighborhood was doing it, and the father had his own stringency, so he wants to say here that the child's not obligated to
pick up. No, I understand that, but I'm not saying about a chumrah. I'm talking about a mekel, right? So let's say, for example, like Tunisians. Tunisians do only eat fresh kitniot. So, but a lot of Sephardim also eat dried kitniot. So let's say, I guess that's a little different because that's the minhag. But let's say the minhag hamak. The question is, can you do a mekel instead of a chumrah?
I'm saying if you're saying do a mekel means you previously had a chumrah, otherwise it wouldn't be a kula. You understand what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, but it was like a minhag as opposed to a halacha. Yes,
that's what we're talking about.
So you need a hatarat nidarim.
Now you got the idea. Right. Unless if a person, when they begin doing it, says this is like Bli Neder, so then he stipulates that he doesn't want to adopt it as a minhag. Excuse me, what? So I have to look into your local competent Orthodox rabbi. Okay, now let's go back into the Gemara. Okay, all right, now. We're going back to the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman. Again, just repeat, we did this several times, again, once more. If a person makes a neder, you know, konam einai b'sheina hayom, we mishan l'matar. The Isur is today on Monday, and the trigger is Tuesday. So then, and under those circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda says you're prohibited in engaging the prohibited practice, even though we don't know you're going to press the trigger on tomorrow, but to be safe, you have to avoid it. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So now, the Gemara is going to ask a series of questions against Rabbi Yehuda. Tanan, we learn the Mishnah later on in our Masechta. Now, this is a man having a discussion with his wife a few weeks before Pesach. Tanan, Sha'at nehenetli ad Pesach im tilchila beit avicha ad chag. The husband says to the wife that you're prohibited in benefiting from me between now and Pesach. Let's say it's Purim. So he says, you cannot benefit from me till Pesach. He says, if you go visit your father's house before Sukkot. So for the next 6 months, you go to your father's house, you're prohibited from benefiting from me between now and Pesach. So it's really the same idea. You know, the Easter now and the trigger later. It says, Halachah lefnei Pesach. So the Talmud Mishnah says that if the woman goes to the father's house before Pesach, asur b'hana tawara Pesach. So then she's prohibited in getting hana from him till Pesach. So now the Gemara wants to make a deal. Halacha lefnei Pesach asura. The implication of the Mishnah is that he's only prohibited in benefiting from the husband if she goes before Pesach. Lo halacha lo. But if she doesn't go before Pesach, she's not. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, you always have to keep your account, you know, clean. In other words, I don't know what the future is going to hold, and then she may trigger the neder. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, she should never, under any circumstances, but benefit from him now Pesach, because I don't know what she's going to do between now and Sukkot. And yet the Talmud Mishnah doesn't say that. Talmud Mishnah only says if she goes before Pesach. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Halchal Fnei Pesach Asura B'lo Ka. So Rabbi Abba says the Mishnah means if she goes before Pesach, and then she's prohibited benefiting from him, and if she does, she gets Malchot. Lo Halcha Asura B'alma. But if she doesn't go before Pesach, she's still Asura. She's still prohibited from benefiting from him, like Rabbi Yehuda. But we can't say she gets Malkot unless, you know, the netter is invoked. In other words, so this Mishnah is not, the Mishnah is not Mufurish against Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah could be construed in accordance to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Mishnah could hold that she should avoid benefiting from the husband to be on the safe side.
But if she does have Hanoi, she does get
Malkot. Again, if she only gets Malkot if she eventually goes to the father's house. Okay, now, Ema Sefer. So now, let's go to the next section of that Mishnah later on. Achar HaPesach B'Bal Yachel Devaro. The Mishnah says that if she goes to the father's house after Pesach, she's subject to violating the law of Bal Yachel Devaro. V'idlo Edhani L'fnei HaPesach mean Bal Yachel. But if the Tana of the Mishnah assumes, like Rabbi Yehuda, that she always has to keep her account clean, that she won't benefit from the husband between now and Pesach, why would she ever be over on Bal Yachel? Bal Yachel, she's violating that. But if the Tana anticipates she's going to follow Rabbi Yehuda's protocol, right, so she won't be over Bal Yachel. So El Pshita, the Tana must be that she did benefit and that she's not following the Rabbi Yehuda protocol. Alma Mitane. So from there we see that a person could benefit if the trigger is coming later on, but you have to Rabbi Yehuda. That would be, turn page, that would be Akasha against Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ki katani de'iyat hane raise the Bal Yachel Devaro. No, I'll say the Mishnah just means that indeed the Tana holds she should not benefit. But if Lu Yatsur, she did benefit from the husband, and then she did go to her father's house after Pesach, then she's subject to Bal Yachel Devaro. Okay, so we had two questions against Rabbi Yehuda, and we were able to deflect both questions. Let's continue on with this Mishnah again. There's question three from the Mishnah later on. Try to remember this, and then when we have the Mishnah later on, you'll know it then. Okay, Tanan, the Mishnah continues. So this is a little bit like a switchover on it. He says that you can't benefit from me between now and Sukkot if you go to your father's house before Pesach. In other words, he's speaking to an Adar, and here he's saying, if you go to your father's house between now and Pesach, you cannot benefit from me from now till Sukkot. So now the Tana says, Halchal lefnei Pesach, if she goes to the father's house for Pesach, Asur b'hana Torah Chag, he says, Muteret lelecha achar Pesach. She's prohibited in benefiting from him till Sukkot, but she can go visit the father's house after Pesach, because the old holy prohibition was, you know, not to visit before Pesach. So the Gemara deduces halcha asura, that if she goes to the father's house for Pesach, then she's prohibited in benefiting from him till Sukkot. Lo halcha lo, but if she doesn't go, then there's no prohibition. Now, the only thing is, though, according to Rav Yehuda, she always has to keep her nose clean. So here it means like this. Let's say it's 2 weeks before Pesach. So the stipulation was,
don't go till Pesach.
He says, Sha'at ne'nit li yarachag until chila beit avicha ara Pesach. You can't benefit from me till Sukkot if you go to your father's house before Pesach. So the Mishnah says she's only got a problem if she goes to the father's house. Right. But let's say she doesn't go visit the father's house, let's say, but doesn't sound like then she has any Easter involved. In other words, week one, week two, if she doesn't go visit the father's house, the Tana doesn't say she's got a problem. He says, So Amarava, who did the Filohalcha Asura? No, even if she doesn't go to the father's house, she's forbidden to benefit. But if she goes to the father's house, then she's prohibited and she gets malchut for the benefit. Lo halcha asur ba'alma. If she doesn't go, it's just asur ba'alma. Let me just wait. Okay, give me 1 second. Let me make sure I get it right, and then we'll see. 1 second. Right. Right. So, in other words, she can't get hana. She can't, if she goes to the father's house for Pesach, then the whole neder is triggered. She can't get hana from the husband till Sukkot. So, the Tana of the Mishnah seems to say she only runs into problems if she visits the father's house before Pesach. But let's what I'm trying to say. Let's say it's Purim, and now, you know. Now 2 weeks have passed and she hasn't visited the father's house. So the implication of the Mishnah is that she can benefit from the husband. But according here, because the title of the Mishnah says, let's go back. It says, let's read it back again. He says, the second line of the Gemara. So now we learn the Mishnah, Sha'at ne'nate li'arachag, you are prohibited in benefiting from me before Sukkot in techila beit avichara Pesach. If you go to your father's house before Pesach, Halchal of Ne'a Pesach, the Tana Mishnah says she only runs into problems once she visits the father's house before Pesach. Asur b'ana tovar achag. Umuteret lelech achar Pesach. And certainly after Pesach she can go. But the deduction is halcha only when she visits the father, asura. In other words, the only thing that invokes any prohibition is when she goes to visit the father before Pesach. Lo halcha lo, but as long as she doesn't visit the father, there are no prohibitions. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, she cannot benefit from him. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she can never benefit from him until between now and Pesach, because I don't know what the future is going to hold. So I have to be on the safe side. So that's a kasha. So Amarava, line 6. Amarava, who didn't feel lo halcha asura? No, the Tana would say, even if she doesn't visit the father, she's still prohibited getting benefit from the husband, but halcha, if she visits the father, asura v'loka. If she visits the father, then benefiting is prohibited, and she gets malkot for benefiting. Lo halcha, but if she doesn't visit the father, asura ba'alma. It's just an Easter ba'alma, but in Achinami, she is asura. Okay, so again, we're just repeating everything, but it's just, again, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if there's an Easter and then a Tanai, in other words, there's a prohibition and then the trigger the next day. So he's, as a matter of halakha, the person is obligated to keep their noses clean on Monday because they don't know what Tuesday is going to hold, and they may pull the trigger. So we asked 3 kashas from this Mishnah about the woman with the husband making the telling the wife not to visit the father, and we were able to deflect each one of those questions. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Lashes. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Now, all right. Now we're going to ask, I think, another two more questions against Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. Nefe, this kash is from a brisa. Kikar zualai hayom. This kikar is prohibited to me. This loaf of bread is prohibited to me today, Monday. If I go to, let's say, Montauk Point tomorrow. So today's Monday. The person says, this loaf of bread is forbidden to me today if I go to Montauk Point tomorrow. He says, Achal, if he ate the loaf, hareze b'bal yilech. So if he eats the loaf on Monday, then he's got to be careful not to go tomorrow. She says, so, but the point is that the Tana of the Mishnah seems to say, we think he's got a green light to eat the loaf, but then he just has to be careful. That's a kash against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, under no circumstances should he eat that loaf. So, mi katani ochel. So the Gemara says, does the Tana say ochel, that he has a green light to eat the loaf? Achal katani. Right, it says he achal raised up about yilech. If he shouldn't eat it, but if he did eat it, then he better be very careful tomorrow. Okay, now then we continue on with the quote from the Braisa. Halach hareze b'bal yachel divaro. If he went on Tuesday to Montauk Point, he's subject to the prohibition of b'al yachel divaro. So mahalech lo b'kasha l'Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would keep his nose clean on Monday. He wouldn't touch the loaf on Monday. So then on Tuesday, he can go to Montauk Point. But that's not what the Tana Mishnah says. The Tana Mishnah says, Halak raised the Bayo Chel de Baro. If he went, now he's subject to the proscription of Bayo Chel de Baro, but Mahalei Lo. But it sounds like he doesn't have a green light to go, so it doesn't sound like he's following Rabbi Yehuda's protocol, the Kashal Rabbi Yehuda. Amalak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say to you, Who is in the litany Mahalei? Rabbi Yehuda would say, the Tana, you could really teach Mahalik. The Tana would say, Mahalik, yeah, he could go on Tuesday because Monday he's going to keep his nose clean or not going to eat any loaf. But I need the Katani Reisha Achal, Lo Mitni Leia Okel, since in the earlier case with the loaf of bread, he had where he ate the loaf of bread, he did wrong, he ate the loaf of bread on Monday, and he can't say he's got a green light to eat it, but he said he ate it. Tani Seifa Halach. So the Seifa, for symmetry of language, he says halach. But in Achinami, according to me, in other words, one is talking about the Easter, one is talking about the trigger. But according to me, Rabbi Yehuda, he is bahalik, and that's what the Tana means. But he just says halach because he's following the symmetry of language. Okay, so the bottom line is, we asked a series of questions against Rabbi Yehuda, and we were able to reply all the questions against Rabbi Yehuda. All right? Now, let me just look. One second. All right, so I'm gonna go on now. So the last one was again where he's got this neder that he won't eat the loaf of bread today if he goes to Montauk Point tomorrow, and the Mishnah says that the next day, if he goes there, he's subject to Bal Yachel. So that sounds like he ate the loaf. Shouldn't eat the loaf. So Rabbi Yehuda says no. In Achinami Tana could say that he has a green light to go tomorrow. He's holeich because in Achinami the Tana holds that he shouldn't eat the loaf, but he only keeps the language. He says halach that if he went, he's over on Bal Yachel because of the symmetry language. In the first case is where he ate the loaf of bread, and not that he's a green light to eat the loaf of bread. He ate the loaf of bread. Second case is where he says halach, but in Achinami it's holeich. He could go because he's following Rabbi Yehuda's protocol. All right, now the Gemara asked your question from yesterday about the relations. Okay, now again we're 10 lines to the bottom. Ha'omer, you know, I tell you, when I look at these Gemaras during the day, I think this is going to go so quick. I mean, I see I could always end up taking more time. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Okay, now Ha'omer le'isha konam shina shamshei chareze ba'yachel debro. Now, if a man's, and we said the other gear says le'ishto, if a man says to his wife that I'm making a neder that I'm not going to have relations with you, so the Tana Mishnah says, Hareze b'vayachel dvaro, he's subject to b'vayachel. So the Gemara says, v'hamishtabi l'amidoraita, but he's obligated to have relations with her on a Torah level. Dechtiv sheirak shutabunatalo yigra. It says in Parshat Mishpatim that sheira shutava onata, it means like her food and her garments and her ona is the zman, if her right for conjugal rights, he shouldn't diminish. So he has an obligation to fulfill those obligations to her. So the Gemara says, ba'omer hana tashmi sheikh alai. So the Gemara says what the neder was different. The neder was that I'm prohibited in getting hana from your tashmish. Not that you're prohibited or I'm prohibited from giving to you, but I'm prohibited in getting hana from your tashmish. We'll see. Bahalo kanifalei b'tashmish. And he doesn't want to have the tashmish at this point. The Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, this is where a woman speaks to a man. Tashmishi alecha kofinota mishamashto. If a woman says to the husband, I'm making a neder that my tashmish is prohibited to you, so we force her to have relations with him. Why did she booty mishabat lay? Because she's obligated to have relations with him. But hana tashmishcha alai. But if she says, the hana of your tashmish is prohibited to me, he says, asur. So then he's prohibited in having relations with her. We don't feed somebody that which is prohibited to him. So it means like this. If it depends how he frames it. That's the basic answer. Right. At the end of the day, you can't. But if the neder is, I'm not going to have relations with you, so then he's meshubater. That he can't do. But if he says, the hana of your tashmish is prohibited to me, so that he has a koach to say. In other words, right. He can say that he could do. That he could do. The bottom line is the same. But there's a way to frame it that he could do it. Now, let's just see a little bit of the round, then we'll talk for a minute. Okay, one second. Now, let's look four lines to the bottom in the round. Okay? Now, it says it's four lines from the top and four lines from the bottom. So it's the middle of seven lines. So, Bim Tomar, v'chi amar hanatash mishech, amai mitzar. Why is it asur? V'mitzot lav lehanot nitnu. Now, here the Ron is asking like this, that let's say a person makes a neder, he's not going to get benefit from a shofar. So is he allowed to blow that shofar on Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is, yeah, he can, because mitzvot lav lehanot nitnu. The mitzvahs are not given to get benefit. You do the mitzvah. So the Ron is asking, does the mitzvah in the Torah to have relations with your wife because of Peru Revu? So it's not given to you for the hana'a that you may have. So if that's the case, even if he makes a neder like that, which the Gemara says he made, why should that be wachal? Right. In other words, mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu. So he says, three lines to the bottom, Yesh lomar, v'chi amrina mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu, means that the fulfillment of mitzvah, if his body, in other words, like the shofar is like music, it's a little bit like the intangible thing, like the neder and the shvu before, like music, but if his body gets physical benefit from it, he says, that is called hana. The Ron connects us to another Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. There's two lines on the bottom. Hanoder hanam in a mayan. If a person took a neder, he's not going to get benefit from the mayan, from the spring. He wants some tovel in that mayan. Tovel b'mumun hakshamim. He can immerse himself in the winter. In the winter's freezing, he's not getting hana from it. He's just getting tahara. Avalobi modachama. But in the summer, he can't, because he's getting, in Akinami, he wants to go to the mikvah, where the mayan is a type of immersion, which would, the mayim chayim, but he's getting the benefit, he's chilling himself off. Now, he has a little piece here in the Al-Hadaf. Let me read the full piece, then we'll hopefully wrap it up a little bit more. So we did the round already, and we said, Masaflav Lihadon Nitnu, and we gave the answer that we gave. Now, alternatively, therefore, says the round, that there is a mitzvah, Puruvu does not permit the bower to have tashmi, since there's physical pleasure involved. Alternatively, the Rashba answers, the husband not remain with his wife and rely on mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu, since he has the option of fulfilling the mitzvah puruvu with another woman. So here, the Rashba is saying differently than the Ran. The Ran is saying the mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu has no application here, because he's getting physical benefit from the wife. So the Rashba is saying a little bit, so look, the husband could get other wives in order to do the mitzvah peruvu. He doesn't have to do peruvu with this woman. He can do it with other women. So let him do it. However, notes the Rashba, if the husband vowed not to benefit from all women in the world, he would be permitted to rely on mitzvot lavli haron. The Rashba wants to say, it sounds like he's choshish a little bit for the svara, but when pressed, if he makes this neder against all women in the world, then he could remain with the wife to fill mitzvah peruvu. The Rashba thus indicates he disagrees with the Ran, is of the opinion that the rule of mitzvot lavli haron inu applies even to mitzvot which involve physical pleasure, provided there's no alternate means of performing the mitzvah. So he wants to say, so in other words, so therefore the Rashba will rely on that if there's no alternate means. So the only thing is the how does he deal with that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah though? that sounded like I don't understand how he'll deal with that. All right, now let me just do the next Mishnah. Any questions, comments to us? Anything we did so far?
The way to make a neder and offer yourself on the Gemara.
Right.
I thought there's a mitzvah going on.
That's what the Gemara asked. But we said, but with the Gemara says, it formulates the neder, and he says that the hana of your tashmish is prohibited to me, so then she'll be prohibited from having relations with him. Because, like the Gemara said, what does the Gemara say? He says, she'ein machilim debar asra, but we don't feed something that's prohibited to him. So if he says, hana tashmish ba'alai, that's chal.
What about his obligation of hana with his wife?
So the neder is chal, and that's it.
That's a neder against the
code. Sometimes, like we said, that nedarim could. We said there are a way to make nedarim that could overcome from the Torah. Like a person could say a neder that he's not going to get benefit from the sukkah. He can't be in the sukkah. Neder, we said the shvuah can't be chal in a mitzvah. That's what we have in the Gemara.
The shvuah can be chal.
Yeah, but a neder could no. A,
I'll agree about No.
Right. That's what I said. Okay. All right. Now let me just do the next Mishnah, and then we'll talk and call it a day. Okay. Now three lines from the bottom on Tetbam Beis. Manitin Shavua She'eni Yashem. Now he's moving from Neder to Shavua. He makes a Shavua he's not going to sleep, which is fine. She'eni Medaber, I'm not going to speak. She'eni Mahalech Asur. So he says that is Chal. Now. Now, when he's, or we'll see. Now, we'll have to clarify the whole thing with that. Now, korban lo ochalacha. If he makes a statement, korban lo ochalacha, this is going back to nedarim. Sounds like that which I don't eat with you should be considered like a korban. So that's definitely not a problem. Or he might be saying korban by the life of this animal. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat with you. But that means nothing. Ha korban sho ochalacha, or like this korban, I'll eat with you. So that's what Gemara understands. Like by the life of this animal, I'll eat with you. But that means nothing. Lo korban lo uchalafa. He says, and this we had touched on earlier within Reb Meir, and there were different shitot. But lo korban lo uchalafa, that which I don't eat with you should not be considered like a korban. So the implication is that which I do eat with you would be considered like a korban is mutar, because this mission goes like Rameir. Rameir says you can't learn from a lav a hain, or from a hain lav. So then we're okay with that. Okay, now, any questions? Which, what do you mean, what is he saying? Shane Yashane. Okay.
First half
I got. Right. So we're trying to figure out. So it's either korban lo ochal lach, is that which I don't eat with you should be considered like a korban, prohibited like a korban, or he might be saying, by the life of this animal, I'm not going to eat with you. But either way, it's not an effective neder. Right?
Okay.
Then ha korban sho'uchalacha, so there the Gemara says, by the life of this animal, I'm going to eat with you. That's not a neder either. And then the last one, lo korban lo'uchalacha, so it could be that which I don't eat with you should not be considered like a korban, but it's like Rameir. So that which I do eat with you would be like a korban, but that doesn't cut it. What? Well, you'll wait a little bit, but I gave you a little insight with that. Okay, now let's just do a little story here, and then this will be it. All right. Okay, there were many in a certain town in Hungary who were not careful with the prohibition of eating chalavakor. In other words, they weren't careful to follow the trail. One person tried to justify himself for the rebbe of the town. There are no tommy animals at the non-Jewish farms where we purchase our milk. In any event, even the non-Jews shirk away from drinking milk from a non-kosher animal. perhaps using unsupervised milk is permitted in such a situation. So it's going to come out this early in the 19th century, but in other words, in town in Hungary, they weren't careful about Chalav Yisrael. A town in Hungary, like early 1800s, a lot of people are not careful of Chalav Yisrael. And they say that the non-Jews don't milk non-kosher animals, and we're not worried about it. Nothing to worry about. Okay, now, so the young Rav of the town didn't know what to do about this question. He says, many people ate bread made with Chalav Akum, and if you rule that eating it is prohibited, those who were more careful cannot combine with others to make a zimun. This would certainly strike in the community. In other words, if I'm eating with someone and they're eating, let's say, treifas, so I can't be mezamein with them. So if the Rav paskins that, you know, like the Chalav Akum is totally prohibited, and a lot of people are eating, apparently they had some milk with the bread or whatever mixed in, so then there's going to be a lot of problems. So he decided to consult with the Chasam Sofer. The great Rav answered, you must know that this has always been the custom of Ashkenazi Jews to prohibit even a mixture of milk with non-Jewish milk. Since this is the custom and has a basis in halacha, it seems more than likely that this practice has the status of an eder, which is more akin to Torah law than mere custom. Even though Chalav Akum has the status of a rabbinic law regarding situations of doubt, is only because that is the manner in which this was accepted within the communities. Even so, since the pre-Chadash permits this and prohibiting it entirely would lead to great strife, for the sake of peace, you should not prohibit those who are stringent from joining the Zimun with those who use such bread. But in other words, the idea is, he's touching on the idea that we discussed, in other words, like once I say it's like a neder, like he's jacking it up even to greater Easter. Like I saw the Aruch HaShulchan or something like this about eating meat, like during the 9 days, he wanted to say, it's like if you eat the meat, it's like an Easter deraisa, because now that people have accepted it as a neder, so now it gets like the Torah level prohibition. So Lehushe Mordechai Zitzal was astounded by this. But in Dharma Tehbab, we see that if people consider something that is really permitted to be forbidden, it is improper to abolish the custom because of rabbinic law. How does this fit with the custom source principle that if people become accustomed to something, it may have a status of Torah prohibition? So Mark Warren sounded like it did the Rabbanan. You know, Baal Yachel de Rabbanan. Yet the Chasam Sofer says it's like it didn't deraisa. Rav Dushinsky Zitzal explained, the Chasam Sofer is discussing custom adopted as the true getter. The Gemara in the Darim is concerned with the custom that mistakenly prohibited that which is really permitted. So he wants to say, like, it's whether it was a real getter, like something to, you know, prevent people from doing an Aveira as opposed to, like, just a mere stringency. All right, but anyway, different topics. Okay, let me wrap it up. 1 second.